God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we finish our sermon series on the book of Jonah. For today we pick up Jonah chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. It's found as an insert in your bulletin. And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made himself a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he could see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" This is our text. I will admit, as we're going through this sermon series on Jonah, we realize Jonah's a lot more than just a fish story. Jonah is a real prophet. Our Lord and Savior alludes to that. And it's a prophet who disobeyed the first command of God to go to Nineveh. God had to get Jonah's attention with the storm and with the large fish. In the midst of getting Jonah's attention with the storm, we are reminded that the sailors heard of Jonah then, heard of his God, saw God's handiwork in action, and believed, offered sacrifices. Jonah finally has a sort of repentance. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then goes to Nineveh, proclaims that word of God, in which the whole city of Nineveh now believes and trusts in God. Scripture very clearly says the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not repent, have no need to repent. Now, you would think that in heaven there would be joyous, grandest celebrations over a city of 120,000 people who now repent and believe in God. Amen. But now we have Jonah, who's now angry. What is he angry about? He's angry about God showing his great love and mercy to 120,000 people of Nineveh. And we might be saying, where is this coming from? If the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner who repents, shouldn't Jonah be rejoicing? The bottom line is, Jonah's sinful nature is extremely strong. He's now in a self-induced sort of state of depression. He wants to die. He apparently doesn't say it, but you sort of can infer it, that he really didn't want the Ninevites to be saved. And we have to ask, what kind of follower of God would ever want to come to that conclusion? So let's start with that as a question. In our lives, I'm sure we also have sinned many times. We have come before this altar and asked God for forgiveness, and we receive that forgiveness. Amen. But what happens when somebody sins against us, and sins against us personally? How quick are we to forgive? Well, I will admit, our sinful nature is strong. And sometimes we don't want to let things go. We want to hang on to them. And we hang on to them for a long time. Now, the challenge question. What would happen, especially since we're talking about All Saints' Day, that when the day comes and you are in heaven, you're past the quote-unquote pearly gates, you're with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you now come across the person who has done you the greatest harm in the whole world, and they're standing right next to you. What is your reaction going to be? Well, I'll tell you what your reaction is going to be. Because you are now without sin, your reaction is going to be great. Isn't this wonderful? I can guarantee that. Because your sinful nature won't be there. But now let me ask you that same question this side of heaven. Would you want that person to be with you in heaven above? If at the moment you're saying, no way. If that person's going to be in heaven, I want to go someplace else. Well, please keep in mind, there's only two places. Heaven, hell. Okay? We don't believe in a purgatory here. Okay? So, would you ever be that angry? Jonah is. Jonah is that angry. And unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, I've actually heard people honestly say this to me. If so-and-so is going to be up there in heaven, I'd rather not be in heaven. And I just sort of shake my head and going, do you really realize what you're saying? But sometimes the anger within us is so strong, we don't really realize what we're saying. There's only two places to go, my friends, heaven or hell. Do you not want to be in heaven? Do you not want God's grace and mercy? And do you not want to see, as God does, all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? What is stopping this prophet of God? His own anger. It's strange here. This is the beautiful irony of Jonah here. Jonah is part of the Jewish people, the promised people of God, a son of Abraham. He has the promise. Two people groups in Jonah who don't have the promise, the sailors on the boat and the people of Nineveh. Strangely enough, through Jonah's interactions with them, they now believe in God. They now have the promise. And strangely enough, even though the promise was given to the children of Abraham and they should believe it, Jonah, because of his anger, is rejecting it. And this is the way the book of Jonah ends. There is no more. And so it leaves us hanging. If Jonah was to die right now, at the end of our text, he's on the outside of God's grace and mercy. Why? Because of the stubbornness of his heart. He does not want the universal atonement that we call it. When Jesus Christ dies, he dies on the cross for the forgiveness of everybody's sins. Everybody in the whole world. But not everyone is going to be saved. Why? Because there are people like Jonah out there who sit there and say, I don't want God's love. Now you might be saying, but Pastor, Jonah doesn't say that. Well, you're right. Jonah doesn't quite say it that way. And unless if you are a card-carrying atheist, you're not going to say it that way either. So now let's get to what I'm getting to here. The attitude of the heart is what? That's what we're looking at. This is one of the few times in Scripture where we get a glimpse of an attitude of somebody's heart. We get a glimpse of their anger. We get a glimpse of how they're pushing God out. And how is Jonah pushing God out? He's angry with God because God is showing love and mercy to 120,000 people in Nineveh. He doesn't want them to have that love and mercy. And we have to say, where is that coming from? That's not coming from God. God loves all his people. God is the one who created each and every one of us. You are loved and cherished by God, each and every one of you. For this we want to say thank you, amen. You are forgiven by God through Christ. For this we want to say thank you, amen. Your pastor, who's also a sinner, is created and redeemed by God. I say amen to that also. But what about the people out there? The people outside of us, the people who have done us wrong, the people who speak a different language, have a different culture, have a different custom. Do we truly want God's word to go to them? Or do we have it in our hearts that say, no, God bless us only? Where does that concept come from? Where we want all that we can get, and who cares about the other person? Let me ask you this. Does it come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Does God sit there and say, oh, by the way, only a select few will be up there within heaven above? And strangely enough, this day falls parallel with All Saints Day. I didn't necessarily plan it that way, but the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, planned it beautifully. Some people have misinterpreted that first reading from Revelation to say, oh, the 144,000, that's it. That's only God's select. And the answer is no. That 144,000 is a symbolic number for all people. God truly wants all people to believe and trust in him and for all people to be saved. God created each and every one of us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. Scripture repeats this theme over and over again. So who doesn't want this to happen? There's only one person. Satan. It's also fitting we're also trying to bring in Reformation Day, which brings in, well, especially that first hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that focuses on spiritual warfare. How, yes, in one essence, there is a struggle. There is a struggle for people like you and me. Satan is there trying to do what? To create angry hearts within us. Satan is there trying to divide us. Satan is there to trying to get us to look the different direction instead of seeing the 120,000 people of Nineveh and our hearts going out to them and saying, okay, Lord, what can I do to reach them with your love and forgiveness? It's Satan who's trying to get us off God's track. It's Satan who's trying to lead you down the path of anger. Because if he can get you in the same position that he has gotten Jonah in at this point, Satan is happy because Jonah is right there on the edge. He's about ready to spend the rest of time and eternity in hell. And that's what Satan wants. However, that's not what God wants. So what does God do with Jonah? Now, I will admit, how do you want to interpret the plant? It comes up, provides shelter, is taken away. How you interpret the plant will give me a little inkling into where your heart's at. Is God playing with Jonah? Notice how I asked that question. It's sort of saying God is being deceivious. Mischievous. He's trying to trick, have fun with Jonah. And the answer is that's one way of looking at it. That's looking at it from a heart that's kind of angry with God, kind of edgy against God, doesn't quite understand all love. But I will admit there are some people like Jonah who are in that category. And Jonah might sit there and say, what's the big deal about the plant? Why couldn't you just provide it for me? And we truly do have people who are angry with God, who come to the conclusion, God allowed this evil to come into my life. Why doesn't God take it away? Why am I allowed to suffer? Yes, there are a lot of people who are angry and claim to be Christians. Even angry enough at the point of pushing God out of their lives. So now let me take a look at the plant another way. from God's point of view, God is using this plant to capture Jonah's attention. God knows, yes, the fish swallowed Jonah, and we might call that to be really uncomfortable, not very pleasant, very mean and cruel. But something much more has consumed Jonah, and it's not the fish. That's even more crueler, more uncomfortable, and that's Jonah's anger. Jonah's anger that now leads to death, death eternally. God is using this plant again for an opportunity to dialogue with Jonah, to get Jonah to talk to him. Let's discuss this. Let's show you God's love and mercy here. Do you do well to be angry? You pity the plant for which you did not labor. You didn't make it grow. You didn't cause it into being. It shot up a day and it's now taken away in a night. Why should I not pity the people of Nineveh? There's 120,000 people there. Doesn't leave us on a very good note. Jonah is kind of silent here. And for our sakes, I'm glad. Because the next words out of his mouth may not be very good words. Because what happens when the fester of anger consumes us? Can we always think clearly? The answer is no, and sometimes we need that giant wake-up call, just like the plant was to Jonah, to get us to wake up to God's love and mercy. But are we ready for it? Can we hear it? Fortunately for us, the story does not end. For my confirmation students taking notes here, here's where the gospel comes in, that it doesn't end. Just like the gospel was there with the message to the Ninevites, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay? That destruction of Nineveh was the law, the gospel, that opportunity for the Ninevites to change, to repent, to believe in God was the yet 40 days. God has the same thing with the prophet Jonah. It does not tell us the end. Why? We hope and pray that God is still going to continue to work with Jonah, continue to soften his heart, continue to show him God's love and mercy. Because, yes, from God's point of view, even Jonah in his stubbornness is worthwhile to God. And we must believe this. If we do not believe this, then when we take a look at ourselves in the mirror, we can't believe that we are worthwhile to God. God shows his great patience and love to the Ninevites. They repent, believe. In Jonah's stubbornness, God again is still patient and loving. And that is the way our God acts. Yes, some people are clamoring for justice based on their anger, and justice eventually will come on the last day. There is a heaven, there is a hell. But do we want to dish out death, damnation, and hell now? Can we be that judge? No, this is for God to judge in his wisdom. The gospel is, in this passage, that even in the midst of Jonah's stubbornness, you see a loving God still trying to capture Jonah's attention. And that's gospel for us, because there are times in our own lives when we act just like Jonah. There's times in our own lives when we're just as stubborn. And there's times in our own lives when we need that same gospel message, that same patience from the Lord that says, I'm not going to dish out my eternal wrath and damnation now. Here's my love. Here's my forgiveness. And can there be forgiveness for people as stubborn as Jonah and as stubborn like you and me? Yes, there is. Thanks be to God. And if this God is this loving and forgiving for you and me, he also loves the people who aren't yet connected to him. And he uses us, like Jonah, to go out and reach to them. And I will admit sometimes our sinful nature is just as strong as Jonah's, and we don't want to, and we have failed to. And God deserves to send us His wrath because of our disobedience. But like Jonah, God tries to capture our attention and say, I love all people. All people throughout the world, whether they live in the Middle East or Europe, Asia or the Americas, Australia, South America, Antarctica, all people. Do you do well to be angry? Is the question God asks Jonah. If our anger leads to sin, the answer is no. Then that anger is pushing God out of our lives and may push us into eternal death. God is trying to capture our attention with His love and with His forgiveness. He calls us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and says, even though we have fallen short of God's glory, He gives us His own body and blood, His own word to feed us, to remind us of His love and His forgiveness. He takes on flesh and blood, we celebrate that at Christmas time, for you, because you are important. All people are. So this day we are going to come to our Lord's table. We are going to receive our Lord Himself, the one who loves all people. And we ask the Lord to soften our hearts, to continue to be abundant with His love and mercy, so that our anger does not exclude us from God's kingdom, doesn't take away that title of saint that Christ Jesus won for us on the cross, but instead, through the Holy Spirit, our Lord keeps us in that relationship so that we can be with Him for time, throughout time and eternity, in His name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.